Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. It's always a blessing for me to be able to bring to you the Word of God and preach the gospel of God's grace in and by the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I try to do in each of our messages here on this program. And today I'm going to continue preaching where I started last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to preach through this chapter. It concerns the second coming of Christ and what the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to reveal to the believers in the church at Thessalonica what's going to take place before Christ comes again. And last week, the message was entitled The Day of Christ, which is the day of His return. Christ came the first time to put away sin, and then he died, he was buried, he arose again the third day, he ascended into glory, seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for the people of God, to stand for His people, believers, the elect of God, and He's coming back again, and that's gospel truth. Christ is going to return sometime in the future. We don't know when, and that's the day of Christ. Well, today I want to talk to you about this subject, the man of sin. That's the title of the message. Now, if you didn't hear last week's, I urge you to order the message or listen to it on our website. We have those messages on the website you can listen to. You can download them. You can order them on CD or DVD on our website. Get that message and study the Word of God. This is important. And so what the apostle is doing here in this chapter, he's setting things right. He's correcting the people, the believers in the churches, the church at Thessalonica concerning the coming of Christ. Now, no one knows when Christ is coming back. We just know that He is coming. And all true believers are to live in the anticipation that He could come any time. And when He comes back, He's coming one time publicly, not secretly. He's not going to sneak in stealthily and just take believers out. That's not what the Bible teaches. That comes from a fallacy, an untruth that began somewhere in the early to mid-1800s. But the Bible teaches that He's coming with the shout of a trumpet, the sound of a trumpet, the shout of the archangels, very publicly. And He is going to rapture His church. That means He's going to take them up unto Himself. He's coming. Those who have died and gone before, who are with Him, they're coming with Him. And He's going to raise His church from the dead, those who have died, and then their spirits. And then He's going to rapture all of His people unto Himself, gather them together, and then those who died in their sins will be resurrected unto damnation, the Scripture says in the book of John, chapter 5. And they will be judged by the standard of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's something that you need to think about, that you really need to emphasize in your thinking and in your theology and in your study of the Scripture. You know, people argue about a lot of the details of Christ's second coming and the judgment and all of that. Here's what you need to be concerned with. When you stand before God at judgment, final judgment, what is the standard of judgment by which God will judge the people? And the answer is found all over the Scripture, but the verse that I always quote in light of that is the book of Acts, is in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31, which says this, that God has appointed a day. Now listen to this very carefully. God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? You know, people, sometimes I get ridiculed because I preach righteousness all the time. But that's the standard of judgment. God's people have already been judged in Christ. But all who come before Him at judgment, the standard is righteousness. So what is righteousness? How righteous do I have to be? Righteousness is more than human morality as we see it in this earth. Now, we as human beings are responsible to be moral, ethical, responsible people. But our morality, our best efforts at morality, our best efforts to be ethical, our best efforts to be responsible, our best efforts to be religious, to be dedicated, to be sincere, do not equal righteousness. Why? Because God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath appointed. Now there's a man whom God has appointed who is the standard of righteousness. And who is that man? By that man whom He hath appointed, in which He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. That's Christ. In other words, my righteousness must equal Christ's righteousness. And there's no way that I can make that happen by my works or my efforts. Somebody says, well, I do it by faith. Well, we believe in Christ by faith, but our faith, our believing in Him, does not equal the perfection of righteousness which can only be found in Him. If we're honest, think about our faith. I have faith in Christ. That's a God-given gift. But I still have the flesh that grapples with my faith. It's called the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. And I have moments of doubt, and I have to fight that doubt so that my faith is yet imperfect. In glory, faith will give way to sight. Because faith in itself, as we operate here on earth, is yet imperfect. Even though it's a gift of God, it's not imperfect as God gives it, but it's imperfect as it comes through me, a sinner saved by grace. So here's what I'm saying. At the judgment, we have to have a righteousness that equals and answers the demands of God's law and justice that can only be found in Christ. And that's why I preach the righteousness of God. That's what's revealed in the gospel. That's the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now that word imputed means that it's His righteousness, His work, His merits, His value charged to my account. In other words, reckoned to me. In the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, the apostle writes, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works." So I stand before God right now, as the Bible uses the metaphor, clothed, if you will, in the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a righteousness that equals Christ's righteousness because it's His charge to me. You understand that? The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We look to Christ for righteousness. We believe in Him. He is my righteousness. Now, I said all that because I want to show you something here about this issue of the man of sin. But here's what's happening here. The Thessalonians, some of them anyway, were so convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back in their day before they died. Many of them quit their professions, their jobs, and they went and lived in anticipation of the coming of Christ. As time went on, they got hungry. They got cold, and that's why Paul in 1 Thessalonians tells them, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. They need to come back and live their lives, and that's what we need to do. And I mentioned last week about a man out in California who thought that he'd figured out the day that Christ was coming back. And he wrote a book about it, and he was wrong. And then he retracted that and then come up with another day, and he was wrong. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. He'll come like a thief in the night, not meaning he'll sneak in and it means he'll come when we don't expect him to come on a given day. I could say, for example, he may come back today. I don't know. Hope he does. But we don't know. Only he knows that. And so only the Father knows that, he said. But Paul said here, he said, don't be shaken in mind, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter. In other words, don't let something shake you emotionally, psychologically, as that the day of Christ is at hand, as if he's coming back on this given day before you die. He may not, but we don't know. He's coming, and you are to live looking to him, anticipating that, expecting that, but you don't know the day. So don't be stirred up on this. And he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now that's the first thing, a falling away. And what is he talking about? He's talking about a falling away from the truth. Now that's what he means. He's not talking about falling away from error, because you can't fall away from error. That's what we're in naturally. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned and understood and received. But what he's talking about is the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word. He said there's going to be a great apostasy, if you will, a great falling away from that truth. And I'll tell you exactly what that is. He's talking about the church here on earth. Now, as it exists here on earth, generally speaking, what is known as Christianity, quote unquote, if you will, or you might use the term, in the historical term, is Christendom. But what is generally known or claimed to be Christian will be Christian in name only, because they have fallen away from the truth. And that, for example, do you call yourself a Christian? Do you claim to go to a church that is Christian? Well, do they believe and profess and witness the truth of God's gospel from the Word? Now, you may just automatically assume that they do. And it may be appalling to you to think, to even think or have somebody like me mention that might not be the case. But I'm telling you right now, this is the pervasive tenor of religion up until the time of Christ's return. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. There's going to be more churches who claim to be Christian, but who deny the doctrine of Christ, the doctrines of the Bible. And you know, people, they claim, that doctrine's not important. I think about over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, when Paul was writing to Timothy about the last days. And remember last week I told you the last days range from the first coming of Christ, His resurrection, His ascension, all the way to His second coming. John, I'm going to show you a verse in a minute where John said that the last days are here. We've been living in the last days for about 2,000 years. And those days will end. Those last days will end when Christ comes again. But he told Timothy, listen to these words. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And he's going to be talking about the last days. Listen to what he says. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom. That's when He ushers in the glorious kingdom and His appearing. Verse 2, preach the Word. That's Genesis to Revelation. That's what He's talking about. Now, all the New Testament had not been brought together then, but it would be, and Paul knew that. Preach the Word, he says in verse 2. Be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, be ready at all times. That's what that means. Don't just pick a certain time. You say, well, I'll be ready but on that day, but another day I won't. No, be ready at all times. And he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All perseverance and doctrine. This is what we're to do until Christ comes again. And look at verse 3. Now listen to this. This has to do with this falling away, this great apostasy. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. If I preach something from the Bible, that's sound doctrine. And you say, well, a lot of people preach from the Bible and say different things. Well, that's why it is impending upon you to learn how to interpret the Scriptures rightly. Plus the fact, and this is God's business, He's got to reveal it to you. That's why I wrote a book concerning the rules of interpreting Scripture. There are rules of interpretation. And the book's called Rightly Dividing the Word. And that's what he's talking about. When Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe, or 2 Timothy 2, that we're to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there are rules of scriptural interpretation. It's not just you going to it and getting what you get out of it, me going to it, getting what I get out of it. And so he says they won't endure sound doctrine. Well, that's talking about religious people too, folks. Many who call themselves Christian, they say we're Christian, we're following Christ, but they won't endure sound doctrine. He says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that is? That's teachers who will tell you not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. I learned a long time ago when I first began to hear the gospel, and I didn't like it. I didn't want it. Didn't believe it when I first heard it. I was against it. I could have easily, if God had let me go on my own way, of my own will. People talk about free will. If God had left this old sinner to his own free will, I can remember when I heard the gospel, I would have left because it's not what I wanted to hear. I would have left and gone to find a preacher who'd tell me what I want to hear. But you see, God taught me that what I didn't want to hear at that time is what I needed to hear. It's like a person who has a terminal illness. You don't want to hear that you've got a terminal illness. I don't want to hear that. But as soon as a doctor can tell me that I've got that terminal illness, that's what I need to hear to seek the cure. So understand that. And he says that's what they'll do. He says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. Now, he's not talking about Aesop's fables. He's talking about religious fables concerning how God saves sinners, how sinners are made right with God. How does God save a sinner? By His grace, through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because of what He accomplished on the cross. In verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You see there, now, the falling away has to do with those who claim, mainly, those who claim to be Christian and who fall away from the truth, the doctrine of Christianity. And so what we need to do is we need to study the Bible. Preach the Word, Paul said. We need to get back to the Bible. I don't believe there's a time when self-examination is needed more than in this day and age, because we're approaching the days of His return. I don't know when He's going to return now. It may not be in my lifetime, maybe 100 years from now, maybe a day from now, but we're approaching those days. And false religion that comes in the name of Christianity is abundant. Satan has been loosed to deceive the world, and he deceived. We're going to see that in coming messages here. So that's the falling away. Well, look at verse 3 again of 2 Thessalonians 2. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, most people agree that this man of sin is what they call the Antichrist. And I'm going to give you some scripture to start off with, and then next week I'm going to deal in more detail with this. But most people will talk about, well, who is the man of sin? Who is the Antichrist? And as you know, the general thought of the day is to look for one person who's coming in the future, who rises up on the political, the economic, maybe even the religious scene, and who deceives everybody, that one man that they all follow, and he's got the number 666, which is talked about in the book of Revelation. Well, this verse here doesn't say Antichrist, but it's apparent that that's what he's talking about. And as I said, the man of sin, because of this language, that man of sin, many people believe that it's talking about one man who's coming. But a lot of people believe that it's not talking about one man, but it's talking about a spirit of Antichrist. Now, let me show you why that's common among believers. The term Antichrist is only found in the Bible 4 times, I believe. Now, let me give you the 4 scriptures that's found. I'll read them to you. The first one we look at is in 1 John 2. This is speaking of the term Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean? It means against Christ. Against Christ. Anyone, now listen to me, anyone who preaches a false gospel, a false Christ, a false Christianity, is Antichrist. Now, whether you think one man's coming in the future or not, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Let me show you that. 1 John 2, verse 18. John writes, "Little children, it is the last time." Now, this is in John's day, a couple thousand years ago. It's the last time. "And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists." Not just one man, but many, a spirit of Antichrist. Many false preachers, you might say, whereby we know that it is the last time. It even began back in the early stages of the New Testament church. Verse 19, "They went out from us." They fell away. You see where the falling away comes in? They fell away. It seems that these were people who claimed to be believers in the truth at one time, but then they left the truth. They apostatized. They fell away. They went out from us. Well, what happened? Did they lose their salvation? Well, no. Look at what he says in verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." They only revealed, when they fell away, they only revealed what they always were, false professors, Antichrist. Let me show you another one. 1 John chapter 2, just write down the page from this one. Verse 22. 1 John 2, 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. If you don't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, the Son of God incarnate, the Lord our righteousness, the only righteousness by which I can be right with God, justified, forgiven, that's Antichrist. You don't believe in the Father or the Son. You deny both. And that's Antichrist. Here's another one. 1 John 4, verse 3. Now listen to this. This is where he says, test the spirits, test the preachers. He says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That the Messiah has come. That's what he's talking about. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Antichrist is already here, John says. It's those who deny that Jesus is come in the flesh, that he's God and man in one person, that he by himself established the only righteousness by which God could justify sinners, and that his blood, his death on the cross, seals and guarantees the salvation of all for whom he died. And then one more, 2 John 1, verse 7. There's only one chapter in 2 John, so it's 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, deceivers, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, do you see that? So understand now, the gospel is the preaching of the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, God in human flesh. What did he do? He saved his people from their sins. Any other message, any other gospel is false. It's deceptive. It's antichrist. And that's who this man of sin is. And I'll give you some more details on that in the next message. The man of sin. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.